Krishna Prasada Samukham Sprahanya Dhamma Snehamaloka Kalaya. Hirti Samas Prashantam Syame Pritha Urasi Shobitaya Shriyam Swat Chidamanim Subhagayantam Vatma Deshnyam. Krishna Prasada Sumukham Spraniya Dhamma Sneha Valoka Kalaya Hirdi Samas Prashantam Syame Pratha Varati Sobhitaya Shriya Swash Chuda Manem Sabha Gayantam Ivatma Deshnyam. Krishna Prasada Samukham Spraniya Dhamma Seha Valoka Kalaya Hirdi Samas Prashantam Shyame Pritha Varasi Subhitaya Shriya Swash Chudamanim Sibha Gayantami Vatma Deshnyam. Krishna Prasada Samukham Spiniya Dhamma Sneha Valoka Kavaya Hidhi Samasa Prasantam Syame Pritha Varasi Sobhitaya Shriya Swash Chudamanim Sabha Gayantam Ivatma Deshnyam. Ask him again.
Krishna Prasada Samukham Spraniya Dhamma.
Mataji is
Mr.
सो अगर मैं अंग्रेजी में बोलूंगा तो आप लोग अनुवाद का प्रबंध कर सकते हो, क्योंकि यह क्लास ही इंटरनेट में भी ब्रॉडकास्ट हो रही है। इज इट ओके? तो जिन भक्तों को अंग्रेजी समझ नहीं आती वो पीछे बैठ सकते हैं, और जिन माताओं को अंग्रेजी समझ नहीं आती उनके लिए कौन अनुवाद कर रहा है? माताओं के लिए कोई कर रहा है? Somebody doing for ladies? Nobody is doing. Krishna Prasada. Blessing everyone. Sumukham. Auspicious face. Sprehanya. Desirable. Dhamma. Shelter. Sneha. Affection. Avaloka. Looking upon. Kalaya. By expansion. Hedi. Within the heart. Samprashantam. Touching. Tyame. Unto the Lord with blackish color. Pritho. Broad. Urasi. Chest. Sovitaya. Being decorated. Shriya. Goddess of fortune. Swaha. Heavenly planets. Chudamanam. Summit. Subhagayantam. Spreading good fortune. Eva, like Atma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu, abode. The Lord is the reservoir of all pleasure. His auspicious presence is meant for everyone's benediction, and His affectionate smiling and glancing touch the core of the heart. The Lord's beautiful body color is blackish, and His broad chest is the resting place of the Goddess of Fortune, who glorifies the entire spiritual world, the summit of all heavenly planets. Thus it appeared, the Lord was personally spreading the beauty and good fortune of the spiritual world. Purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. When the Lord came, He was pleased with everyone. Therefore, it is stated here, Krishna Prasada Smukham. The Lord knew that even the offensive doormen were His pure devotees, although by chance they committed an offense at the feet of other devotees. To commit an offense against a devotee is very dangerous in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya therefore said that an offense to a devotee is just like a mad elephant run loose. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it tramples all the plants. Similarly, an offense under the feet of a pure devotee murders one's position in devotional service. On the part of the Lord, there was no one offended because He does not accept any offense created by a sincere devotee. But a devotee should be very cautious of committing offenses at the feet of another devotee. The Lord, being equal to all and being specially inclined to His devotee, looked as mercifully at the offenders as at the offended. This attitude of the Lord was due to His unlimited quality of transcendental qualities. Unlimited quantity of transcendental qualities. The cheerful attitude towards the devotee was so pleasing and heart-touching that His very smile was attractive for them. The attraction was glorious not only for the higher planets of this material world, but beyond for the spiritual world also. Generally, a human being has no idea of what the constitutional position is in the higher material planets, which are far better constituted in regard to all paraphernalia. Yet the Vaikuntha planet is so pleasing and so celestial that it is compared to the middle jewel or locket in a necklace of jewels. ओम ज्ञातिमनन्दस्यां ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरन्मीलितानेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं राधिस्व जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्त हरे Actually, today is supposed to be a short class because they're supposed to be an Ishta Goshti soon. Krishna Prasada Sumukhams Praniya Dhamma Nehavaloka Klehri Samas Prashanam Chame Pratha Vurasi Suvitaya Shriya Swash Chidam Manim Subhagayantam Ivadma Deshnyam. So over here, we are witnessing the presence of the Lord. Why did the Lord come to this location? Why? Because there was a dispute going on between the Kumaras and his doorkeepers. In this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about the description of the kingdom of God. So in other scriptures, you get information, kingdom of God. But you don't get information how detailed it is in the kingdom of God. For example, in the previous verses of this chapter, we have read about the kingdom of God. One characteristic is the men are million times more handsome than the men on this planet. And the women are million times more beautiful. And the women are million times more beautiful than the ladies on this planet. So one would expect that when there's a handsome man and a beautiful woman, they would have some attraction to each other. But both of them, the man and the woman, their only meditation is how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are completely devoid of any desire for sense gratification. They are constantly singing the glories of the Lord. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets have unlimited opulences. Everyone residing in the kingdom of God is four-handed, and everyone has a private jet, a private plane. How many people in India have planes? Few millionaires have. And every plane is made of, not steel, gold, emeralds, diamonds, real gold. Everybody appreciates real gold, so therefore they have what they call imitation gold, imitation jewelry, and they put gold paint in cars and planes and everywhere to remind you that real gold also exists. But in the Vaikuntha planet, all the inhabitants are pilots. You don't have to go to a school to learn flying. Everyone's learned the art of flying. And these planes never crash, never run out of petrol. And the planes are made of pure gold and emeralds and diamonds. Plus, all the trees there fulfill all your desires. The cows can give you unlimited milk. Can you expect any of that in the material world? You cannot. So there are many, many more characteristics. We just gave you a sample of some of the characteristics in the kingdom of God. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is so detailed that it gives the information on the kingdom of God, gives the information on the heavenly planets, gives the information about the hellish planets also. If you go to the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will read a very detailed explanation of the hellish planets. And the explanation also states how, for different types of offenses, of different types of crimes, there's different degrees, different type of punishment in the different hellish planets. So we should just look upon the Srimad Bhagavatam as a means of guidance. So here we see that the Kumaras, who were the Kumaras? They were the sons of Brahma. And they're called Kumaras because they were able to control their growth by mystic powers. And they had no desire to enter into the Grihastha ashram. Their father wanted them to enter into the Grihastha ashram, but they did not. And in order to make sure that the sex urge and the desire for sense gratification doesn't develop, they were able to control their growth. So the Kumaras were traveling and they were able to come to the kingdom of God, to Vaikuntha planets. And they were able to go through the six gates. When the seventh gate, they were stopped by the two doorkeepers of the Lord, Jaya and Vijay. We have Jaya Vijay at our temple entrance, Jaya Vijay in the entrance of the project. So Jaya Vijay are the doorkeepers of the Lord. And Jaya Vijay, as you read in the previous verses, they stopped the Kumaras from going in. They said, "You naked children, you can't go in to see the Lord in this condition." And the Kumaras are very upset. "Why are these two goalkeepers stopping us from coming in?" And the Kumaras were ready to curse them. The doorkeepers, they had no objection to being cursed. Normally, nobody likes being cursed, especially if there's some punishment involved. But a devotee is fearless. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he was also cursed, isn't it? What does Parikshit Maharaj curse to? So, if somebody picks up a terminal disease, and these days diseases are so common, and the doctor tells you, "You only have 7 days left to live," we all get panicky, isn't it? We all get scared. But Parikshit Maharaj didn't get scared. One, from his birth he was absorbed in thinking about the Lord. That is why his name is Parikshit. Even when he was in the womb of his mother, he was protected by the Lord, and he got such great pleasure in seeing the form of the Lord that came to protect him, that all his life, whenever he saw somebody, he would try and compare it to the image he saw in the womb of his mother. Therefore, his name is Parikshit. So he was not cursed. So a devotee is fearless. So Jaya Vijay, when they saw that the Kumaras are ready to curse them, they were ready to accept the curse. But they made one request. And that request was, "Please give us any punishment, but keep us in a position that we can always remember the Lord. So that is the strong desire of a devotee. He doesn't mind being placed in heaven or hell, but he wants to be in a position where he can remember the personality of Godhead. In the Nectar of Devotion presented by Rupa Goswami, originally presented as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has given us various rules and regulations about devotional service. And in the end he says, the purpose of all these rules and regulations is to bring us to the point that you always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So, Jai Vijay said, we have made an offense. We are ready to accept your punishment. But please, give us a punishment that we can always remember the Lord. So that should be our mentality also. Doesn't matter what service you're doing, but our goal should be that we always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Of course, Jai Vijay got cursed as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, Shirshupala and Dattakarna, but they took on the role of demons. That's not our desire. We want to think of Krishna favorably. But our desire should be to always think of Krishna. So the Kumaras were very fortunate because when this dialogue was going on between the Kumaras and Jai Vijay, the Lord, who was in his chamber along with the goddess of fortune, he heard this conversation. Just like we are sitting here, and suppose downstairs some people are speaking loudly, fighting. Then everybody runs there to see what's happening. So that's exactly what happened. The Lord heard this conversation going on between his servants and the Kumaras. So the Lord came out. And the sages over here are describing the wonderful characteristics of the Lord. Actually, the purport of this verse is quite long. We only read half the purport. So in the translation and purport, there are many, many important points that come out, and that will require a very lengthy discussion. We'll just touch on some of them briefly. The first point that's being made here is, the Lord is a reservoir of all pleasure. In the early days of our movement, Prabhupada published a book. And you know what that book was called? Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. So we devotees have to understand that Krishna is the real reservoir of pleasure. So what does it mean, Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure? That's the important thing. Due to illusion, we all would like to think that I am the reservoir of pleasure. I should get all the pleasure. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the three modes of material nature. And Krishna explains the characteristics of individual in the three modes. So what's the characteristic of somebody in the mode of passion? He works very, very hard. And he gets the fruits. But then, he wants to be the enjoyer of the fruits. He doesn't think anybody should share this. If I'm earning 10 lakhs a month, I should make sure the Hare Krishnas don't get one paisa. All 10 lakhs should be for me and my family. So, due to illusion, we all like to think that we are the reservoir of pleasure. Even when you come to goodness, still that mentality remains. Because Krishna explains that even in goodness, there's competition going on between the different modes. Sometimes the mode of passion wins, sometimes the mode of goodness wins, and sometimes the mood of ignorance wins. A person may be pious, he may do puja, but at the same time he's going to do some other nonsense. Therefore, Krishna says, go beyond the mode of goodness also and come to pure goodness. So in illusion, we think that we should be the reservoirs of pleasure. But we devotees have to understand that the real reservoir of pleasure is Krishna, which means the purpose of our eyes should be to please the Lord. The purpose of our ears should be to please the Lord. The purpose of our tongue, body should be to please the Lord. In the Bhagavatam, you read the story of the sons of Kuvera who were cursed. Who were they cursed by? Narada Muni. And what were they cursed to become? Trees. But not in Delhi. In the courtyard of Nandmaharaj. And along with that curse, they got a benediction. And the benediction was, at the end of 100 celestial years, they would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, after they were released, because the Lord pulled down the tree, He pulled down the two Arjuna trees, And after they were released, the two gave a very wonderful prayer to the Lord. They said, from now onwards, may our eyes constantly see the form of the Lord. May our ears constantly hear the glories of the Lord. May our tongue constantly describe the glories of the Lord. May our legs always walk to the place of worship. May our head bow down before the devotees of the Lord. So in illusion, we don't understand that Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure. The Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto says, those eyes that do not see the form of the Lord, they are comparable to the plumes of a peacock feather. In a peacock feather, you see eyes. But those plumes don't have the capacity to see. Similarly, those legs, they do not walk to the Lord, to the temple or the place of worship, compared to the trunk of trees, etc. So the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that those parts of the body that are not used in service to the Lord, that is simply a liability. So the Kumaras, the sages, are actually the speaker of this verse. They are saying that the Lord is a reservoir of all pleasure. His auspicious presence is meant for everyone's benediction, and His affectionate smiling and glancing touch the core of the heart. So the Lord is present in many forms. Here it says, His auspicious presence is meant for everyone's benediction. So what this means is, in simple English, that wherever the Lord is present, the person is benedicted. Now you may say, in the Vaikuntha planet, the Lord came and gave His benediction. But the Lord is not going to come here in Delhi or Bombay or London. So how are we going to get benedicted? How? Who knows the answer? So is the devotee. What else? So the holy name. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. Isn't it? In Kali Yuga, the Lord incarnates in His holy name. So when you chant the holy name is beneficial for everyone. Isn't it? Even if somebody sarcastically says, crazy Hare Krishna, people, he'll still get the benefit. So the Lord is manifesting Himself in His holy name. Just like day after tomorrow we're going to have the Rath Yatra. So the Rath Yatra ceremony has several purposes. One is to give everyone the darshan of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath is so kind that he gets paraded on the streets of Jagannath Puri every year. But then Srila Prabhupada was so kind that he introduced Rath Yatras all over the world. The original Rath Yatra festival by ISKCON, the first one, was held in Calcutta. And Prabhupada used to organize Rath Yatra even when he was a small child of 6 years old. When Prabhupada was 6 years old, he organized the first Rath Yatra. And over time, that Rath Yatra became so prominent that Prabhupada's father's friends would tell him, "Are, you had Rath Yatra and he did not invite us." And then Prabhupada's father would say, "This was for children, bachchon ke liye, organized by my son." So this Prabhupada gave us this Rath Yatra festival. So one is, gave the millions of people the opportunity to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. Then the other is to give the holy name to everyone. The holy name will be chanted non-stop for 6, 7, 8 hours. When we go on Rath Yatra, our mood should be to be constantly engaged in chanting and pulling the Rath of Lord Jagannath and singing for the benefit of for the glories of the Lord, isn't it? Our mood should not be, Rath Yatra is going on and we go shopping or sightseeing. Our mood should be to absorb ourselves in the kirtan or book distribution so that the Lord is glorified and people hear the holy name. And the holy name is so powerful. Just like our Rath Yatra passes through quite a long Muslim area also. So everyone's going to hear the holy name. It is said in the Bhagavatam, 5th canto, that even the demigods are thirsty, dying to take birth in India. So you may say, why? One fortune in India is, doesn't matter whether you're Christian, Muslim, what your faith is, everybody's heard of Krishna. Everybody knows the name Krishna. And everybody gets exposed to Krishna. And the name of Krishna is so powerful that anybody who hears it, knowingly, unknowingly, is going to benefit. Therefore, the presence of the Lord is realized in Kali Yuga by the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So the Kumaras are saying that your auspicious presence is meant for everyone's benediction. So we should be very enthusiastic in Rath Yatra, so that we enthusiastically chant and dance for the pleasure of the Lord. So the Lord appeared, and in this verse we see there's a very nice explanation of the different characteristics of the Lord. Actually, starting with the verse that was discussed yesterday, for the next 10 verses, you will read about different transcendental characteristics of the Lord. And one thing you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the first canto till the 10th canto, the Lord is constantly being glorified by His devotees. And no 2 verses have the same meaning. The bottom line is the same. The Lord has been glorified. But if you carefully examine the characteristic, you will see that no 2 verses have exactly the same meaning. All the great sages are constantly glorifying the Lord, and the devotees take pleasure in just repeating their words. We don't have to create our own system of glorification. We can just meditate on the translation of the Sanskrit and repeat those words and thereby glorify the Lord. So in the purport, Prabhupada is making many important points. We will just touch on one of them. And that is, Prabhupada talks about committing offense to a devotee. Why was the Lord there? Because he knew that his devotees have committed an offense. They have offended The Kumaras. In the next chapter, there's a very nice verse which explains that if you have a mark of leprosy in your body, then that sign of leprosy can spoil the beauty of the whole body. Isn't it? You may be a very handsome, tall, strong, well-built man, but if you have a sign of leprosy anywhere, your whole body will become ugly. Similarly, it is said in the Bhagavatam, a crime and offense committed by a servant is also linked up to the master. In other words, when the servant does something wrong, the master gets a bad name. So the Lord is saying, Jai Vijay are my doorkeepers. They have offended you. So I am also feeling bad that you were offended and that my devotees have been offended. So from this we get an important message. And the important message is, we, the devotees of this Krishna consciousness movement, have to be very exemplary in our behavior. It doesn't matter whether you're brahmachari or grihastha or vanaprastha or sannyas. We should all be very exemplary in our sadhana, exemplary in our behavior. Why? Because if we are not exemplary in our behavior, that will reflect upon the leaders, Srila Prabhupada, and the whole society. Sometimes I meet people, they say, why I have no faith in you all? Why? Oh, that unit, that devotee from your organization committed this crazy thing. Then we have to tell them, just because one person did something crazy, doesn't mean that everybody in the movement is crazy. And anyone who's intelligent can understand that. But we should have this mood that if I do not act properly, if I do not show good behavior, if I am not exemplary, then it's going to reflect on my leaders also. So therefore, we should be very conscientious how we behave. Of course, in Kali Yuga, that may not be as easy to manage, but we should still try our best. We should be exemplary in our sadhana and behavior. So the Lord is saying that my devotees have committed an offense. Therefore, Prabhupada in the purport says, to commit an offense against a devotee is very dangerous in devotional service. And Prabhupada goes on to describe the Lord Chaitanya's explanation. Lord Chaitanya was explaining to the great sage Sanatana Goswami about the process of devotional service. We read about this in the 22nd chapter of the Madhya Leela section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Lord Chaitanya explains, Brahmanda Brahmita Kona Bhagavanaji, Guru Krishna Kripa Pai Bhakti Lata Bhin. He explains how the living entity is going through different births, and the fortunate entity receives the seed of bhakti. Then he explains further, having obtained the seed, how the seed grows. And what did he explain in this connection? How does it grow? It grows by the process of chanting and hearing, known as the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. Shravanam and Kirtanam forms the foundation of our spiritual life. Then he further explains that as the devotional creepers are growing, sometimes unwanted weeds also grow. And if these unwanted weeds are not plucked out, they will dry up the gains of the water. Just like you're watering the plants, but there were unwanted weeds, the water will be wasted. So he says, pluck out the unwanted weeds. Just like we've taken to the path of devotional service, we're chanting, I may be a leader, whatever, but then I become proud. Oh, I'm chanting, I'm now Brahmin, I'm sannyasi, I'm this, I'm that. So these unwanted weeds are not helpful on the path of devotional service. Then he further explains that in order to protect a devotional creeper, we must keep ourselves in devotee association. Lord Chaitanya specifically said, we should build a strong fencing around us so that unwanted animals, etc., are not allowed to come in. That fencing is an analogy which really means you should keep yourself protected, surrounded by devotees. Because when you are in devotee association, then your spiritual life can be better protected. That is why Prabhupada created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Why did he create this society? So that an environment can be created by which we can get association and give association. In Krishna consciousness, we do both. We get association from those who are more advanced, and we give association to those who are less advanced. We should not be miserly. We should not say, oh, I'm protected, now let the others go to hell, what do I care? Our mood should be to protect, to give our association and to save everyone. Then Lord Chaitanya said, however, the gains of devotional service can all be ruined by committing Vaishnava aparad. And he described this as the mad elephant offense. So Prabhupada is commenting on this mad elephant offense. Prabhupada says, just like a mad elephant can get into a beautiful garden and destroy the beautiful garden. Similarly, by committing Vaishnava aparad, you can destroy all the gains of chanting, etc. In these scriptures, we get information on different types of offenses. As we come on the path of devotional service, we should also familiarize ourselves with all these offenses. One is offenses to a devotee called as Vaishnava aparad. Then there is Guru aparad. Then there is Seva aparad. And you're doing service, but at the same time you're committing offenses. Just like there are offenses with regards on the path of deity worship. When we come in front of the deities, we must bow down. When you are in front of the deities, you should not talk. Sometimes we see people are just talking, doing prajalpa in front of the deities. No. In front of the deities, our only talk should be Krishna Katha or Harina, if you're preaching. But not that we do any mundane talk. Then we should not have our back towards the deities. We should not eat in front of the deities. In the nectar of devotion, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's a very detailed explanation of the offenses that we should avoid with regards to the deities. However, the focal point of our discussion today is Vaishnava aparad, or offenses at the feet of a devotee. So we should be very careful that we avoid these Vaishnava aparad. By Vaishnava aparad, Guru aparad, our spiritual life can get ruined. Therefore we read about this again and again. We talk about the 10 offenses. And what is the first offense? First offense is to commit blaspheming devotees of dedicated lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. So, one should be so careful that we should avoid Vaishnava aparad. There are many stories in the Bhagavatam, in the scriptures on this point. There is that famous story, Lord Chaitanya was doing Harinam Samkirtan in the house of Srivas Pandit. There was a Brahmin who was very envious. Srivas is getting so much respect. Lord Chaitanya is coming and doing kirtan every day in his house. I say he wanted to defame Srivasa's character. So what did he do? He kept a whole paraphernalia for worshipping Durga in front of his door. And Srivasa, when he opened the door in the morning, he saw all this beer, liquor, on the parapet and they were worshipping Goddess Durga. So he said, look, Devas, I was a pretender. Actually, I'm a devotee of Durga. But no one believed it. Anyway, so what happened to this person, Brahman? He got affected with leprosy. He went on suffering. He approached Lord Chaitanya before he took sannyas. But Lord Chaitanya refused to forgive him. He said, you should suffer for millions of years. Then after prolonged suffering, after the Lord had taken sannyas, he again approached him. And then the Lord said, I can't forgive you. Then who can forgive you? Who can forgive me? My devotee. Then he had to go to whom? And beg pardon from Shiva. So the point is, on the devotional path we should be very careful. Then there is that famous example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, Sachi Mata. Sachi Mata in her mind has a little bit of anger towards Advaitacharya. She held him responsible for influencing her oldest son Vishwarup to leave home. So everyone would tell Lord Chaitanya, you're benedicting everyone, but you're not benedicting your own mother. And Lord Chaitanya would say, my mother's committed an offense. She has to beg forgiveness for that. And when Advaitacharya heard of this, he said, ah, Sachi Mata, how can she commit any offense? She is the mother of the personality of Godhead. So Sachi Mata also knew that my sons are happy. So when the Lord had revealed his transcendental form and they were offering obeisance at Advaitacharya, because Advaitacharya was always keen to glorify the Lord, Sachi Mata went from behind, touched his lotus feet, and when the Lord saw this, he was very happy. So from this example, what do we learn? That this Vaishnava Prada is so crucial that even Lord Chaitanya did not forgive his mother. He even told his mother that you should, through that example, he's giving us a lesson that it doesn't matter how senior you are or junior, we should avoid committing Vaishnava Prada. Amrish Maharaj was a great sage. He had committed no offense. Durvasa Muni, having mystic powers, could not appreciate his pure devotion. And when he pulled out the demon to burn Amrish, Amrish was absorbed in meditation. Sarve Mana Krishna Padara Vindaya. So the Lord Sudarshan Chakra protected. And when Durvasa Muni reached the abode of the Lord and begged forgiveness, the Lord said, I reside in the heart of my devotee, and my devotee resides in my heart. In other words, the Lord said, I can't forgive you. If you want forgiveness, go to my devotee. So the point is, the summary is, that so many, there are unlimited examples in our scriptures that point out about the disadvantages of committing Vaishnava Prada. So the bottom line is, that we should mold our spiritual life in such a way that we avoid criticism due to envy, hatred, etc. Now, someone may say, but if I see somebody doing something wrong and I want to correct him, is that Vaishnava Prada? No, that is not Vaishnava Prada. If you see someone doing something wrong and you want to correct him, but correct him in a gentlemanly way. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the austerities of the tongue. And the first, and he explains the austerity of the tongue is speak words that are truthful, but speak words in a pleasing manner. So, our correction endeavor should not be instigated or motivated by envy. If you have a genuine desire to correct someone, and you do it in a very gentle way, then it's not Vaishnava Prada. Now what happens if you have committed Vaishnava Prada to someone? You offended someone. And then we are like, oh, what did I do? I made a mistake. It looks like Vaishnava Prada. Then what do? Then you go and offer respects to that person. Then you vow in your mind, I'm not going to repeat it. I'm going to try my best to avoid it. So the point is, a Vaishnava is very forgiving. So when he sees, that when you see that somebody is apologizing. So forgive him. Don't hold a anger again in your mind. Sometimes you come across devotees, they hold a anger eternally in their mind. This man did something to me 10 years ago, so I'm not going to forget. But then, that's your fault. If somebody has apologized to you genuinely, and he does not want to repeat, and you don't forgive him, then he's off the hook. Then he's not going to get any liability. So the point is, we should be careful on the devotional path, and we should avoid Vaishnava aprat. And Prabhupada discusses this point in great detail. So we should, on the devotional path, be very careful. We avoid Vaishnava aprat, we avoid Guru aprat, we avoid aprat against the holy name. We chant the holy name of the Lord. There are many offenses. One of the offenses is to be inattentive while chanting. So we have emphasized this many times because this is the crux to our spiritual effort. If you chant the holy names attentively, not committing any offenses, then your spiritual life will blossom. Your anarthas will get liquidated. Anartha nivritti will be realized. And if you're not chanting the holy name attentively, then you may be chanting, but the anartha nivritti will not manifest. And the taste for the holy name will be lacking. And you'll be pondering between material life and spiritual life. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave that famous story. I think most of you know this story. Bhakti Siddhantaji was asked, how is it that some people make very rapid advancement and some do not make rapid advancement? And then he gave the story of the marriage party that wanted to grow across the river. They sat in a boat. Boatman was rowing all night, but in the morning they discovered the boat had not moved. Why? Because he forgot to take the anchor out. So similarly, if we don't chant attentively, then it becomes an offense. An offense against whom? Against the holy name. And who? What is the holy name? Non-different from Krishna. So it becomes an offense to Krishna. Therefore, all the devotees, whether you're new bhakta or old bhakta, our focus should be to chant the holy names very attentively. And if we chant attentively, then you'll find you'll get a taste for the holy name. Your desire will be to serve like people are serving on Vaikuntha planet. What did we say about the inhabitants of Vaikuntha planet? All they want to do is glorify the Lord, and they have no desire for sense gratification. So that stage can be attained even by people on this planet if we chant the holy name. This is the great mercy that Lord Chaitanya has done. Therefore, he is described as the most merciful incarnation. Because Lord Chaitanya gave us the holy name, emphasized the chanting of the holy name, and explained in the Bhagavatam, this chanting of the holy name in the age of Kali will give you the same benefit that prolonged meditation gave you in Satya Yuga, or Yajnas gave you in Tirtha Yuga, or meditation on the Lord gave you in Dwarpa Yuga. You can get the same benefit, expensive sacrifices in Dwarpa Yuga, the same benefit you can get in Kali Yuga. How? By chanting the holy name. So our goal should be to avoid all types of offenses. Offenses can be committed how? Through the mind, through the tongue, and through the body. In Kali Yuga there is one concession. What is the concession? Offenses in the mind are not... You get a discount. Offenses in the mind are not held against you. So you may say, okay, good. Now I'm going to just commit offenses in the mind and not verbal and physical. But the unfortunate reality is anything you think in the mind gets translated into the tongue and the action. Just like the famous story of Ajamil. Ajivan, as you know, was born in a Brahminical family. And he saw the prostitute embracing her lover. So first he started meditating on that incident. And as he started meditating on that incident, he got attached to that incident. That's when he proceeded to hire the prostitute as his maidservant. But where did it start from? First meditation. So similarly, if you are mentally always thinking bad about somebody, this guy's a rascal. If you're mentally committing offenses, then there's a good chance that that will lead to verbal offense and physical offense. Therefore, don't take advantage of the fact in Kali Yuga mental offenses do not count, because mental offenses can lead to verbal and physical. So to summarize the verse, the Kumaras are speaking the verse, the Kumaras are describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has appeared in front of them, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he appeared, it gave the Kumaras immense pleasure. It gave them so much pleasure when they saw the Lord. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw the Lord, it gave him immense pleasure. And so we see the Kumaras are describing the transcendental personality of Godhead, His beauty, and how the Lord is served by thousands of goddesses of fortune. And we also, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about the Vaikuntha planet. Vaikuntha means a place where there is no misery. What does Vaikuntha mean? And what is this material world called? Kuntha. Kuntha means where there is nothing but misery. So material world is Mritya Loka. We don't like to hear it. What is Mritya Loka? For the last 1 week, I was going to the hospital almost every day to see our dear godbrother Jayapataka Swami. And when you go, he's better now, but not completely out of danger. But when you go to the hospital, you see so much suffering. So much suffering. There is literally so much suffering in the material world. The power of illusion makes us believe, others are suffering, I'm comfortable. Actually, there's suffering through the sevenfold processes, and nobody can escape that. So one who's intelligent just makes a plan. How can I get out of the material world? But then you may say, but scriptures say, devotees even willing to go to a hell? Yes. To serve the Lord, we're willing to go anywhere. A devotee, when he leaves his body here, he goes and serves Krishna somewhere else. But the point is, we should be serious about getting out of the material world. And you can only be serious about getting out of the material world if you're serious about Krishna consciousness. If you're not serious about Krishna consciousness, that means you remain entangled in material life, birth after birth. So the summary is, the Lord is all auspicious. Wherever the Lord is present, everyone benefits. Just like so many people come for darshan of Radha, Partha, Sarathi, Gaunithai, Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Everyone benefits. So many tourists come, isn't it? We should take care of them, show them around. Anyone who sees the Lord, anyone who hears the holy name, anyone who buys these books, anyone who touches these books, his whole life can change. So our goal should be to become good devotees, avoid offenses, absorb our mind in thinking of Krishna, and by this process, you'll be able to make spiritual advancement. Sab tayaro? Ek do ne bola. Sab tayaro? Hare Krishna.